Alright, time for another DraftPhysics.com video presentation. So, kind of a video for you regular people, if there are any regular people. Probably don't want to watch just because it's going to just be details about how to simulate the underlying basic physics. And so, you know, who knows if that'll be of interest. So it's related to a comment. Hello, I'm working on an interactive physics simulator for your theory. I would suggest you email me, okay, and then I can make videos specific to any issues you have and give you, you know, some advice regarding how you're creating the simulation because, I have some experience working with people trying to make simulators and I understand where the problems can arise. Anyway. And want to make sure I'm understanding the force bit movements correctly. Let me know if this is correct. Force bits can only move in component directions. They only have one direction, like basically everything. It can only move it one direction at a time. Okay. The force bits, yes. Yes, matter can have more than one direction in terms of it can have more than one collection of momentum. Yeah, I guess you could say. So yes, it's just a piece, a quanta of energy moving the speed of light in a straight line in one direction. You can't move in two directions, yes. But things that are made up of these force bits like protons, electrons, and neutrons, so atoms, just call that an atom. Well, the elemental protons, electrons, and neutrons aren't really atoms, so they're individual things. So separate those, their function. So there's no neutrons, there's just protons and electrons. Okay, so I'll try to make that clear. So neutrons are like atoms. They're composite objects, clearly composite objects. The electrons and protons do all the charge interactions. So the neutrons are just, it's not that they're irrelevant, but they're like saying, you already have an atom and you're going to make more atoms out of the atom you made. They function more or less as an atom would function. Or are these purely elemental and not made of force bits? Right, they're not, who cares what they're made out of? The point is they exist as something called matter and the other stuff exists as something called force and they have different properties. So I'll try to illustrate that again, but all right, anyway. Can move in many other directions. They can have more than one momentum. So they can have a component of momentum. If they have a component in this direction, okay, any one of these forward directions, you could say, then the other perpendicular directions, they can also have a component. And then they can have a component in the third one. So they can have a component of motion in three different directions at the same time. Just as you can throw something and it can have a velocity in this direction and have a velocity from gravity in this direction. It can acquire more than one momentum. All right. Are these purely elemental and not made of force bits? Can move in many other directions depending on how many of and in what positions the force bits attached to them are. Yes. All right. So we'll try to be, try to illustrate some of the rules that you would have to imply for a simulation. So the first argument is yes, the simulation has to create a universe, and the universe has to have in it an even amount of stuff going in these different directions, okay, going in all kinds of directions, and the two stuff is this red stuff and this blue stuff, and then there's two kinds of matter, okay, the electron and the proton. All right, and the rule is, okay, that if a little blue thing hits, no matter where it hits, no matter what angle it hits, no matter how it hits, no matter how tangential the hit, it retains its direction, so it just stays going the way it's going, and all that happens is it changes its orientation. Okay, it goes from a boy to a girl, or from blue to red, or from red to blue. So that's the rule for a force of the opposite polarity, whatever you want to call it. Okay, so that's simple enough, right? So if the same, the force bit of the same polarity hits, the idea is, no matter where it hits or how it hits, you know, you have to figure that part out. So the math you have to do is to think of the object as just something sticky. And the point will be, is to say if I have this tangential hit, like this very tiny edge, I hit the very edge, but this is my direction. This is the part that matters. So all this is the energy. So the energy is as if it hit it right in the center. So if it hits it at the edge, it's as if it hit it in the center, in the sense that all it's adding is momentum in that direction. So no matter how tangential the hit, it's still a hit, in the sense the thing's stuck, and theoretically this object doesn't spin or do any of that kind of crap, so the whole object just moves in that direction. It gets momentum in that direction. And so the trick would be, is if it's already moving with some component in that direction, the opposite direction, then you'd get a reflection. Okay, and the two would just reflect. So that's the calculation thing you have to do, is you have to basically just say, all right, let's just cut it into a two-dimensional, you know, for two dimensions into a clock. All right. And so you're just really just calculating where you can have energy going in these opposite directions. Yes, it's just, all right, let's see how to explain it. You just want to collect all of these different vectors. Okay, so an arrow hits going this way, so that's inside. Another arrow hits going that opposite way, and then one hits going this way, and then one hits going that way. And the idea is to add up those vectors and figure out which way you're going, which way you actually now have a momentum. And then you do a reflection if you already have energy going in that direction. So if there's any component, if this has any velocity, okay, so say its velocity is, the object's velocity is this, and you hit it with energy this way, okay, there's a component in the same direction. And so that's the tricky part, is that it's now going to be a reflection because there's a component going in the direction this is going, meaning there's a element of force proportional to that piece. And so it has to reflect rather than stick. So it only sticks if there's no motion in the direction that the thing hits in. So that's probably the easier way to say it. So if it's already moving this way, or it's not, more importantly, it's not moving in any opposite way to the way it comes in. So if this something comes in this way, and the motion is in some, there's no counter motion. There's nothing, this isn't move, this doesn't have any element moving towards, then this just sticks, and you add it to its total momentum, this direction. So say if it's already going in this direction, and it's going to be going, let's say, the trick is how much energy does each quanta give the matter? So let's say the rule is 1 in 10. Okay, so it's 10%. So now it's going 10% the speed of light in this direction because it has this one thing hit it. And then say another one hits in with the same, you know, a portion in the same direction. Okay, well, yeah, it's going to change the direction because this is adding momentum in this direction, so you could argue that the direction of the object will also be some combination of those vectors, and that also sticks, but it sticks essentially, you have to move the total momentum in the same direction as the net product of the added momentums. So both of these would move to this new location. All right. Because you're basically adding momentum in a direction, and now you have two in this plane, right? See, in three dimensions, it's going to get really complicated, you know, because you have to do this in each dimension. But the point is that you have to add the momentum. So now it's going 20%, okay, of the speed of light in this direction. Now, it could have a direction this way, right? So there could be doing the same thing in this direction, where you're doing the same kind of calculations. So that's the part where you have to either make a decision to just bisect things and say, okay, I'm just going to do an averaging or something. But yeah, that's the part that gets a little tricky. It gets a little complicated figuring out how to combine the different momentums. So I can't say there's a standard rule for it. I'm just saying that you have to sort of break it down into approximations because it gets really complicated. You can't do a whole bunch of complex math for every interaction, or the simulation will take 30 years to run. So let's see what else I have to add to that. Alright, so the idea is that it can collect more and more energy by collecting vectors, okay, that have a portion in the same direction it's going. So as it adds more and more energy in the same direction it's going, it increases its speed by 10%, you could add, for every single extra quanta going in that direction. Yeah, see, it's really hard to explain how you can add the vectors, because obviously the physical universe can do math that, you know, would take us a long time because it's physically doing the math. So it's really simple for it to do it, but it's really complicated for you to do it synthetically. And so that's why I'm having difficulty explaining it, because, yeah, you really have to do a whole bunch of complex vector math to figure out what your net product is when you add anything to something already moving in a direction, and then calculate how to represent that extra momentum. So the point is that things have interactions. The object has a net momentum, you could argue. It's going to end up going somewhere in space, but it's going to go that location because it has these vectors, right? It has a portion in this direction and a portion in this direction. So every time something has a direction, you have to understand that it has it because of those components. And that you're going to be adding and subtracting to the components, okay, which adds this huge layer of complexity. Alright. Let's see. So the net idea it has a direction. So I can draw that here. I could do it up here. Alright, has a direction. And then every time a new force bit hits, it's going to change that direction, and you have to figure out whether what it's going to do is release energy, because there's enough energy coming in this opposite direction. So if this has a portion, see, in this case there's no portion because it's a right angle almost, but say the energy comes in this way, and there's clearly a portion of opposite energy, and those have to essentially cancel, which means the object's going to lose its energy, okay, in this direction. So there's going to be a reflection. A piece of energy that was stuck is now going to leave, and this piece is going to reflect. And that basically represents the idea of the fact that you're adding energy in the opposite direction, which means you are neutralizing a piece of the energy in that direction. All right. And then the case where you're just adding energy, so the arrow has no negative component, just a positive component, so it's just going to add energy, create a new vector, okay, and the force sticks. So it's just you have to figure out when it sticks and when it doesn't stick, and then you have to figure out when it does stick, how do you calculate the change in the net momentum of the object. So I'm not saying you have to do it by my rules, I'm just saying those are the tasks. you have two events. One of them is the force adds, it sticks. So you have force, let's say, going here. You got three this way, you got two that way, you got two this way, whatever. And now you're going to add another one. And the idea is there enough energy opposing it to justify a reflection? Or is it so, like, you know, it's 92 degrees. You know, it's close, but not quite. It wouldn't cause a reflection, and it would just be another add. And so that's where you draw that line. I can't say. Yeah, it's a simple answer. Clearly, the more opposite the arrows. So you can have, these are the two cases, right? You can have a tiny bit in this direction, right? Or you can have a lot in the opposing direction. So this one's easy, reflection. This one's more complicated because, you know, there's a little component opposing the direction you're already going, which means you are supposed to cancel that, but you can't cancel it, but you can't make a piece leave with 10% of the energy. It's all or nothing. You either release a quantum or you don't. You either stick or you bounce. So those are the two rules, right? So that's a simple way to say it. It either sticks or it bounces. You either add energy or you subtract one piece of energy. Those are the only two things that happen. So when it bounces, it's subtracting a piece of force because you'll be ejecting something when you bounce. Or you stick and you add. Yeah, that's probably the best way to say it. Actually, do I need to really go into anything else? I mean, that's probably enough. I mean, what I have found is that simulators tend to work on this principle of creating an object, and then the object is followed along through its path, okay? And it only makes a new object injected when you make an object leave. So an object has to leave before a new object can be injected, and the simulator can't do that. Because of obviously all this color change stuff and identity change that's going to happen, you'll break what's being randomly put in as pressure. So you have to create a system where what comes in is always, okay, an equal amount of, you know, red and purple, all right, no matter what's coming out. So even if a whole bunch of, just by chance, a bunch of purple is going to be coming out of this side, and just through chance interactions, there's more purple leaving at 1 minute than there is red leaving at 1 minute. You can't have a bunch of extra red coming in because more purple went out or more red went out. So you can't allow what happens in here, okay, what kind of changes take place to the force in here to affect how the force radiates into the universe. So the radiation from the universe isn't going to be affected by any of that. And so it has to be constant. Because if you don't fix for that, then you break what happens, because as a bunch of red goes out, you bring a bunch of red back in from, you know, and it ends up pushing things in directions they wouldn't have been pushed in. Just a fair warning. But anyway, so yeah, so it's probably best if you're going to do a simulator that you contact me first, ds@donotgo.com, and then I can make videos specific to your questions. So just to anyone willing to do simulations. I have a couple that are half made. And, you know, they just haven't been finished. And so, you know, they do part of this. And so I can give you links to that stuff so you can see how that works. Well, part of it. One of them is done in HTML, you know, 5, which is really very good because I can play with it a little. But I'm really just too, you know, I'm just not a good enough programmer to do the finagling myself. I don't know enough about how the generation of the bits and how you manipulate them, yeah. So I have to learn all that, and I just haven't found the time. And so Yeah, anyway. So that's the principle is the very simple rules, okay? It's just this 2 plus 2 plus 2 physics thing. All right, just two kinds of force, two kinds of matter, electrons and protons, two kinds of interactions. The neutrons will take care of themselves. I mean, once you get these interactions happening, it seems kind of obvious that electrons and protons are going to end up attracting each other and ending up very close to each other. So neutrons aren't going to be a problem to create. The more interesting bit is that when you start making the atoms, because, you know, people say the word hydrogen, but hydrogen isn't one thing. Molecular hydrogen. And the fact is that when we talk about hydrogen, like in hydrogen balloons, it's not hydrogen 1, it's hydrogen 2. You know, so it's really is 4 of these elements, you know, and you can understand why that's a big molecule. Because the protons will be pushing against each other, the electrons will be pushing against each other, and so you'll have a large area for a small amount of matter, and that explains why the smaller atoms are light. Okay, is because they're not necessarily single atoms; they're molecules. They're more than one atom, making up what's being called an atom. So, you know, we call it hydrogen and people think it's an atom of hydrogen, but it's not really an atom of hydrogen when there's 2 of them or 4 of them or 8 of them. You know, that's not a hydrogen atom anymore. So that's a whole other part of chemistry. They seem to have kind of just, they drive right past, you know, that the hydrogen you find in the real universe is hydrogen 2. It's not hydrogen. Okay. So anyway. Yeah, I think that's enough of a video. And such. A little change of pace. And I haven't done this in a while. So sorry it was a little bit I could have done it better. But whatever. It's for what it's worth. Blah, 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 blah. And such.